Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 191st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. The show's been running weekly since March of 2014, and starting September 18th, this program will become an every other week broadcast. And I think you're going to be delighted with the variety in this time slot on the weeks that I'm not here. Former New Mainers Speak guests Kifa Abdullah and Zoe Zahul will be alternating weeks to bring you poetry, music, and culture with a global twist. Both Zoe and Kifa are leaders in the community and will delight you with their programming. Next week, I'll introduce you to Kifa, and the following week, he will host his first program. New Mainers Speak will be back every other week thereafter. My guest today is El Fadl Arbab. He came on with his friend Bazia last month, and he's back to share more of his thoughts about his journey from Darfur, Sudan. He is a survivor of genocide, was able to escape childhood slavery, and ran through the bush, caves, and mountains as a lost boy of Sudan. He's on the air today with his message about education, just as everyone's heading back to school this fall. El Fadl, thank you so much for coming back to New Mainers Speak.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when you were a child, what did your family think about education?
They really think about education because they did not get any opportunity to go to school or just like have any educational background. And every single family, they think about their kids like every family, they just want to have like one child get graduate from their own families, to have just only one girl graduate or one boy graduate from whole entire house. And in that family, you could have like 10 to 15 people, you have only one graduate. And I was a child, and they are like telling us stories, like especially our parents and grandparents. And the elders, they put us in their lab and they tell us our stories, and we just kind of listen and listen and listen. And it really was amazing, and I have so much respect for our elders and parents and grandparents and anyone who born before me by 1 day, 1 second, 1 minute, 1 month, 1 year. So we have very special respect for them. And that was normally the education we got, like in my region, in Darfur region of Sudan, because the government always, they don't want we will go to the school, even though our parents, they will work very hard through like the raining season, because they are normally cattle keepers and farmers. They have their best animals, and they have growing the food for whole year. They bring the water, they bring like firewood and everything. So they have to sell their food, and they have to sell their best animals to provide that like a financial support that the kids will register to go to the school. After they register the kids, and our own government, they take that money, and the kids being registered, when the first week of the school, then they will say, no, the kids cannot go to the school. And that's why we are not able to go to the school. And it's really now, because of the school's opening, it's really great opportunity for me to kind of courage and also kind of, you know, motivate our kids, because all the kids in United States and as a global around the world, like education is really important. Education is like when you have a flashlight on the dark, that's where the education is. It's like finding your way out, like finding your path, your career, your, when you get educated, you have your certificate, you have your, you know, your career, then that's everything, like you own it, and there is no one will get it away from you, and your future will be very bright. And also for the teachers, those whom they are educating our kids and just doing their best. I really thanks them a million by doing all this great, and their patience and their passion that doing all this and dealing with our kids. This is really tremendous efforts and opportunity, and they have done a lot, and I know that they will do more, and they are doing everything in their power. And also our parents or guardian or anybody who like responsible for us as a kid is really also, I want to thank them a lot because they are there before us, and they are the one provide everything for us, and they are the one supporting us to kind of go to the school in term of financial, in term of anything we need as a kid to have to kind of move forward to make a difference to our future. And it's really, they're doing a lot in their part. And I really thank a lot. And also our elders, they kind of telling us the stories, and they are the foundation, they are the legacy. And I really have so much respect to them. And it's really our kids like to learn, to go to the school is very important. It's their time, because don't miss this chance. When you feel anything is hard, this is, you are like 99.9, like you are almost there to be successful. Don't give up. Just move forward and just go ahead. Even though for me, I'm in 35 years now, I'm kind of working very hard. I'm working two jobs, going to the school, trying to get my high school diploma, and go to college to get my college degree, and also make my career get it done. So it's really, this is very important to me. And, you know, I'm just moving forward, and I'm just kind of thanking the people of Maine, Mainers that help me and support me and educate me to speak today, because I don't know how to speak English language when I come to Maine, and I really start from ABCD and build it up, and took me like 6 to 7 years to start speaking. And I'm really, really very delighted to kind of thank you to the Mainers, and Israel is being tremendous opportunity and efforts, and thank you so much. It's really, the thanks will go back to the Mainers. Thank you.
Al-Fadl, you are filled with gratitude, and it's beautiful, and it's even easier to understand if we have a little bit of context to understand why you appreciate this so much. So you started by saying, back in Darfur, your parents were pastoralists, and they would raise these animals. That's all they had access to. They'd sell them for tuition. You'd be sent to school, but you were rejected by the state, because it's a tribal thing, right?
Yeah, it's more tribal thing, because they don't want, like, these tribal kids will go to the school unless one of the tribals work for them, or they have like a big business and funds the government, and then that child will have an opportunity to go to the school. Even though the child, their parents did everything, they go to the school, they also will kind of, by anyhow, will kind of bring anything to them, and they just kind of get them out of
the
school.
They make up an excuse to keep you ignorant.
Yes.
You were systematically kept out of education so that you could not rise up.
Yes.
So you are a person who understands the real value of education, and you don't take it for granted. That's why you're so grateful to your teachers and to this opportunity you have. So here you are, 35. You're going to get your high school diploma. How far along are you on that process?
It's like I'm almost over there. I have like 10 credits left for me. And because of I'm working two jobs, I have to work hard to support myself and support the others. Because at the end of the day, I am here, I am safe, I am able to eat and drink, and I could work, and I could get like some money to support the others. So it's not all about me, it's about we as a human to come together, support each other, and work together, and just move on to make a difference. That's all about, like, when you're getting enough money to be able to eat and drink, your transportation and basic needs. That's all what we need. That's all that matter.
And you certainly know. You watched your village be burned down when you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
You were on the lam running through the bush and protecting yourself alone for many years, right? How long were you just in charge of yourself as a child?
Yeah, it was like 10 years that as a kids, we have to have our own like meeting as a kids and also making our own decisions and learning, escaping, running through the bush and cave, so mountains and all that.
You must look at these children here in school and say, you're so lucky because while you were that age, when you should have been in high school, you were hiding in caves and running away from captors.
Yeah, it's really, there is a lot of opportunity, and that's why I'm kind of getting involved more with going to the school and talking to these all different age groups and different level of schools, tells them how important the value of education, because there we will be crying, we want to go to the school, crying days and night. And
in Sudan,
where my village is, we have to cry and cry. And also, we don't have no pencils or pens or anything. We have to write down with our fingers on the dirt until, like, we write hard and we're trying to draw things to have a sense, like, how these things, how you could visualize it and how you could have an idea. And it's really, we do everything with our fingers on the dirt until, like, your fingers sometime will kind of become very hard and tough. And that, to see the kids here, they have everything. I would like to see they will move forward and just accomplish their goal. And in our world today and tomorrow, there is nothing possible. You could do anything. You could become anything you want to become if you work hard. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to kind of connect with them.
Yeah, so as a child, you were hungry for education and you couldn't get it. And now as a 35-year-old man, you're working two jobs and getting your high school diploma and hoping to go to college for conflict resolution.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to study in college human rights and conflict resolution, because that's what exactly I am doing now, going through the school and teaching the kids about the leadership and grassroots community building capacity, community organizations, and all that. So I just want to have a degree down in the road, what I'm doing, to have a degree on it. And that's what I'm going to.
I think you will never stop learning. You love learning like nobody's business.
Thank you.
And thanks. What do you wish every high school student understood about education and opportunities?
Yeah, education is, you know, education is like you will never see it, but or it's not easy to feel it, but it's like ocean, never ends. But there is a lot of opportunities there. If you put more effort, you work hard, learn more things, you have more opportunity to learn different things, like you have flexibility, then your future will be very bright. It's look like when you apply for one job and you just have one major, then that will hold you back. If that is not available, you will kind of be waiting. But when you have so many options, you definitely, like less than a week, you could have your job.
Yes.
Or if you have done career, that career is yours. You own it. There is no one will take it away from you. Instead of you going to the people seeking for a job, the people will come to you and it's like, hey, can you work for us? And it's like, yeah, let me check my schedule and I will get back to you. And you could work, you could choose your hours, you could choose your days, how many hours you want to work, how many days you want to work. So it's really, it depends to your financial situation. And it's really, that's what I would like to see those kids will move forward and just through education, so they could become anything, they could start any business they want to. It's not something hard, but if you work, you have your goals and vision, you definitely could make it through education.
This is from somebody who lived without enough water, without enough food. So you don't squander your resources. You think if there's an opportunity, take it. Don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah. It's really like the way how I grew up in my village, like there is no running water, there is no food, there is no electricity, there is no like computers or anything like that. But I really like thanking the people of the United States that bring me here as a refugee. And just like what I did not get it there, I really, there is more opportunity here. And I don't want to miss this chance. And I really want to work very hard to kind of do something, you know, to live to the address, because we want to become as a legacy and foundation. You have to do something great to live to the address. Well, it's not just for myself, but to the address to come and learn from it and move forward to make a difference.
You're on your way. And if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan. My guest today is Al-Fadl Arbab. Originally from Darfur, Sudan, not having access to education may have slowed Al-Fadl down, but it has not stopped him. He's currently working toward his high school diploma. And he also brought in to show me an entire portfolio filled with letters of recognition and certificates of thanks for the work he's done, going around to high schools and other kinds of schools and talking with children to help people understand, A, what genocide is about, B, what education is about, C, don't squander your opportunities. And so he's here today in the studio, too, to talk some more about that. I was curious to ask you, who taught you to value education? Who do you have to thank? Or, you know, was it your mother who said you need to go on? Or how did you get this in your heart?
Yeah, it was like my parents and grandparents, and they are always telling us stories. And it's like, you have to move on. You have to listen. You have to kind of having like bigger goals. And education is everything. They told me education is the key for success. It's like when you have a door and you come in to get inside your room and that door locked, you don't have no key, there is no way you could get into that room. You have to have the key and open the door and you could get in. So that key for that door is the education. And we really need that to kind of teach the kids, whole entire kids, to have an opportunity. Because sometimes kids, it's not easy to know what they want in their future. So we have to tell them, we have to encourage them to do more what they are doing. When they grow up, they definitely will find their way, what they want to become and what they want to do. But from the beginning, they really need our support and our help and guide them to kind of go through that process and
stick with it.
And stick with it. And I really, our parents and grandparents always, they have full time for us. Even though we don't go to the school, that's the education we got, like through the stories. And we go every single house, like every night, and we stay there for a few hours, and they tell us a story. Every single house we go, there is different stories. And that's why we get this education through our elders' stories. And I really believe that like there is an opportunity here, and I want to kind of give more from these stories to the kids to kind of make comparison things between Africa or anywhere around the world. We have 7 continents, and they will just learn from it, because I believe that we are the citizens of the world. We could live anywhere. We could go anywhere for business, for anything. Like we as human, we don't have no borders. We could go anywhere. But when you have education, you could go anywhere. You could start your life easily. You could start your business, understanding, cultural, and all these differences will come naturally. But if you don't have no education, it's hard.
It's like a passport or a freedom to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I understand that you are writing a set of books while you continue to move toward your own high school graduation. Can you tell us about what your vision is for your books?
Yeah, the books is like normally the childhood, like the Darfur, Sudan, the beauty of Darfur before the war or tragedy. And that to be simply for the kids, like beauty, the games, the toys, how we spend our day since we wake up, like 6 or 7, until we go to sleep, like at 8 or 9 at night. And what we do, what kind of responsibilities as a kids to take, how we help our elders, our parents, our grandparents, and how the respect between like generation to other generation, respect and communication. So that is like very important for us. We have to respect them and they have to teach us. And also like this thing is really working very well. And we have such as community, people have to work together. And in whole entire village, we know each other. If there is a baby born tonight, we all will know there is a baby born last night. So everybody knows each other and everybody is familiar. And that's where we would like to do more that here to bring that kind of culture and also the diversity. And it's really refugee community are very rich with either like culture, music, food, and all these differences. And this is where make this country called United States of America makes great because of this. And we would like to put more and unite people more together, bring more people together to, instead of to do something great, you have to be united. You have to work together. And that's where we really want to make Maine and United States. We want to make it great and greater. And we really want to come together and just move forward.
You have a lot of beautiful vision. And it sounds like when we've talked about it that the books that you're making are targeted at different audiences. Simple stories like about games for the children, but then more about what the conflict is and everything with the young adults, and then cultural pieces
like
for the adults.
For the kids will be very simple, just to be about the beauty, games, toys, and we could go to the classes with the clay and stuff and stories. For the young adult, those when they start reading, so we could have like young adult in that age between 12 to 13 and going until like 14, you're getting to the high school, that to be also about education and also the other things the kids do in that kind of age. That will be like the second book to be more interested to the kids to read. And also when the kids start reading more and more, we want to work like with the kids and teachers as well. When the kids read more books, so they could give them certain credit because makes kids to kind of do more. And when they are interested on their stories, they kind of want to get to the end of the book to kind of be quick and read. And it's like, yay, I done it, and they will move to the next. And the third book will be general. That will be about more like also my journey, like from Sudan to Egypt, coming to United States, and how I start learning the language and how the Mainers help me, like tutors, the volunteers and friends and teachers and anybody who helped me. Is really, we want to kind of put that how I get help and also where I'm going from here, and more put together about ethnic cleansing, genocide, crime against humanity, violence against women and girls, and all this, and the boys as well, and men. So all this will be included to the general book, and that could be like, anybody could read it. So
that's the book I want to read, Alvada.
Yay!
Yes, that's the book. You also have other hopes and dreams. You're a very creative person, collaborative. As you've already said, you really like working together with people. You have an idea about a bridge between the United States and some African countries. Can you say a little bit about your art?
Yeah, it's really the art we work with the kids across the states is three different things: art, music, and also poetry. Those three different things is very important. When you want to send your message across the globe, you have to have those three things because are very powerful and don't need any explanation.
Yeah, they transcend the
it's
need
just
for,
there. When
for
you just see, Yeah, when you just see or you just hear it or you just listen to it, you will get connected with it and you will feel it and you just know it. It's like, this is the way it is. And it's really amazing. We want to work with those kids. They are very talented, very smart, genius, patient. And we would like to give this opportunity to our kids. They're looking for any projects to do throughout their schools, like middle schools, high schools, colleges, any level of a student, even younger ones. We're working with them, different projects with the clay, like I could build like animals I love in Africa. And the kids here, they could build like snowmen, they could build houses, they could build their own toys they like. And it's really amazing to see all these kids are very talented and creative.
Yes.
And we want to give this opportunity to the kids to kind of create their own, and they will become independent. And then through the education, they will know how to make right decision. When they get to the business, then they know how to make their own business. They don't have to struggle in the future.
Yes. And you've worked with the Falmouth High School, and you've told your stories, and then they tell the story back to you in pictures. And then you show those pictures to people in Africa so that they can see, people understand when you share your stories. And then you can share the stories of African children who understand here. And so people can have this visual language of understanding together.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of build a bridge between United States and also us in Africa. That bridge through education, through the art, music, and also the poetry, and also different collections. We're trying to have two museum in United States and museum in Africa. And the work of the kids in United States will go to Africa, and the work from the kids from Africa will come to United States. And then we could be able to kind of make like connections through the education. And also we will have an opportunity, like the kids could go like 15 days like for education to Africa, the kids from United States.
Exchange.
The kids from Africa also, they will have an opportunity to come over here for education and go back. And we're trying to build the kind of friendship between the kids, because there is no borders. We want to break these barriers. We want to bring people together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. El Fadl, you are extraordinary. For all you've been through as a genocide survivor, a child slave, and a lost boy of Sudan, you continue to believe things can be better. And I am always really impressed by your will force, your unswerving optimism, and your extreme productivity. Thank you for reminding us about something we can be proud of this Labor Day, our schools. And thank you for being my guest again today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you all for listening. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information on facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song El Fadl has selected for us. This is from Ethiopia, but it's music that everyone can understand, he says. And it's Habesha Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh.